In the name of Jesus, amen. Throughout the history of the Christian church, throughout many, many centuries, Christians have often perceived and talked about the church being like a boat or a ship. And you can find many, many stories in the scriptures that point to this, one of which we heard today. Some go back to the Old Testament and often are thinking of Noah and the ark and the animals two by two and the eight souls and all that were being saved amidst God destroying the world through the flood. And we name things in churches after parts of boats, surprisingly enough, still today. Where you are seated today in this building is technically called the nave. It's where we get the term navy, which stands for ship or boat. Where I'm standing up before you here today, this platform here, is called a pulpit. The pulpit term comes from the front end of a boat. You may remember from the gospel readings where Jesus gets into a boat and sets out from the side of the shore and begins to preach from the front end of the boat to the masses that are gathered on the shore. If we were to take this building and to flip it upside down, I don't think it would float, but it certainly looks like the bottom of a boat. And I think this is a wonderful imagery for you and for me to focus on, not just today, but throughout our days that we are given on earth as Christians. Especially in these days that it seems very hard and very difficult to be a Christian, where there are so many temptations and so many ways of the world to go elsewhere rather than here on Sunday morning, where there are so many different thoughts and beliefs out there that take us away from the triune God who has given us all of His love and His grace and His blessings in body and soul, when there are so many dangers lurking around us in this vale of tears, in this valley of the shadow of death, from wars and violence to senseless acts of violence, even shootings of people who gather together in a church for Bible class, as we saw in Charleston, South Carolina this past week. The boat imagery is a wonderful imagery because it is what keeps us safe and secure as all of this world tends to torrent and become violent and full of all of the crashing waves of chaos and despair and anguish and darkness. It's nice to be in here today, to hear the words of Jesus amongst His disciples. But in the same sense, just because all of that is happening out there, it doesn't mean that it doesn't happen in here as well. We as Christians gather together week in and week out at this place around God and His Word. Words of peace, words of calm, words of love and grace and mercy. Constantly God speaking to us that your sins are forgiven, that in the midst of life, in the midst of death, in the midst of danger, in the midst of safety, in the midst of persecution, in the midst of peace, and all of these things, you live, as Paul says today. You live in the freedom of the gospel at this place. And yet we at times do not act like it. Not only outside in the midst of all of the chaos and all of the things that are going on, we certainly do not act like Christians outside of this place, but we certainly do not treat each other as Christians as well in this place as we should. We do not always trust one another. We do not always care for one another. We do not always look out for the best interest of one another. in this place where we are called, gathered, and enlightened by His gospel, His love that freely flows from all of the means He gives to us today. And because of that, we despair. We despair not only about our lives that are going on and all of the chaos and the darkness that seems to surround us. We despair about each other. We despair about the church. We despair about the world. We very much find ourselves like Jesus and His apostles today. In the midst of the boat, in the midst of Jesus telling them, "I am with you. Let us go to the other side. I will not leave you or forsake you." He gathers in the boat with His disciples, and you know the story. A great storm, a great wind arises. Waves were breaking into the boat, and the boat is beginning to fill up with water. And where is Jesus? He's asleep. He's asleep on the stern cushion. See, in Jesus' day and age, these boats that they had were not like boats that we have today. Most of the time, they put a large piece of metal today. I don't know what it's called. Tell me after church. Something to balance out the boat. A ballast, I think, is what it's called. But in Jesus' day and age, they didn't do this. They had no way of doing it. So they would put this large weighted cushion in the boat to balance it out from the waves and everything else. And here is Jesus, true God and true man. He's tired. He has been in the ministry with His people. He has been working with His disciples. He is tired. He tells them, "Let us go across to the other side so that we can continue there." And He decides to take a siesta, a nap. Sounds good. You can do that on a boat, right? But the winds pick up, the waves begin crashing in, and the disciples immediately forget who is in their midst. Who is in the boat with them? Jesus. Jesus is in the boat. The same God, man, who spoke to Job about all of the things of creation that He formed and that He continues to form and that He continues to create and uphold and sustain in each and every day that this world is given. That God created all things and now is in human flesh and blood in this boat. And yet the disciples are perishing. They are in great despair. Jesus, they wake Him up. "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" "We're about ready to die, Jesus. The boat is filling up. The waves are crashing." How quickly they forget that Jesus is in the boat with them. That He is the one who created all things by speaking, and He has created each and every day and has ordered it for its very purpose, and that He has His eyes squared directly on each and every one of His beloved creatures. And the pinnacle of His creation in humanity. But there's great despair. "Save us, we are perishing. We are perishing, Lord. We are about ready to drown. Can't you notice? Can't you wake up? What is the matter with you? Why aren't you looking out for us?" Sounds familiar, I'm sure. In the midst of all of the problems and the chaos, in the midst of all of the things that you and I face, we forget. Jesus is in the boat with us. Jesus is here with us today as He has always promised to be, speaking His word of mercy and forgiveness and peace, calming our troubled hearts. We cry out to Him in distress and our trouble, and He delivers us from our distresses. He tells us that no matter what you face in life, if it's chaos, there will be peace. If it is mistrust and discord in the midst of the people gathered here or out there or wherever else, I can bring unity and reconciliation through forgiveness and love. Paul mentions all of these things. All through great endurance and afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, gentle love, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God, in all of these things, we were true, even though counted as imposters, as unknown yet well known, dying, behold, we live, punished yet not killed, sorrowful yet always rejoicing, poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing everything. Jesus is still in the boat today. He still is with you, his dear people, picking you up out of the waves and the wind and the chaos that is in life, and forgiving you, having mercy on you, pointing you back to the very fact that he tells us that he will never leave us or forsake us. That no matter how hard and far we have traveled, no matter how far we have despaired as Christians, he is here with us. He is still in the boat. And if he can take all of the world and its creation and by a very word bring it into creation, and if he can take a same word and speak, peace, be still, and it is calm, it is absolutely perfectly calm in the midst of that lake on that evening, what more can he do for you and for me? As he speaks to us the words of eternal life. That because he has come and he has taken on our greatest fear, the greatest chaos, the greatest temptations in this world, by punishing them and putting them to death on the cross and rising from the dead and giving us his Holy Spirit today, how much more can he do for us today? Even in the midst of our doubts, our fears, and our despairs. It's still evident today. Jesus is still in the boat. He is still here with you and me today. He was with those Christians in Charleston, South Carolina, earlier this week as the chaos and terror ensued during that Bible study. And if you're not so sure about it, I encourage you to go look up, I don't normally do this, but go look up on the internet and see the arraignment video of the gentleman who committed that act in Charleston. And there on his arraignment, the Christians from that church showed up and they addressed him as he was in his prison garb. Jesus was in the boat with his disciples. Jesus is still present today. And as that man was being arraigned, the Christians from that church came up to the microphone and said, "We will never see our loved ones, our family members, our friends again. You took people away from us. But I forgive you," is what they said. "I forgive you. We forgive you. Repent of your sins, confess Christ, and live," said one of them. How many of us would be willing to say that to such a person? How many of us would, let alone, be willing to say that to each other here or out there? Jesus is still in the boat. And that was such a wonderful and marvelous example that I noticed this week. And it brought my heart great joy in the midst of even that tragedy to hear the words of release, to hear the words of forgiveness, to hear the words of eternal life shatter through this world of darkness. We forgive you. God says to you today, I forgive you. Repent, receive his forgiveness, and know that Jesus is still in this place, his boat with you, his disciples, telling you and me, peace, be still. I would like for us to end my little talk here today by having you take out the bulletin insert. And I would like for all of us to take a moment today to pray together as a congregation the collect of the day. I would encourage you to take this prayer with you and to pray this collect of the day on a regular basis for this world and for your brothers and sisters gathered here in Charleston and everywhere else who confess Christ. It is a wonderful prayer that reminds us that Jesus is still here in this boat with his disciples. We pray together. Almighty God, in your mercy, guide the course of this world so that your church may joyfully serve you in godly peace and quietness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. To Christ alone be all the glory, now and forever. Amen. Freely you have received, freely let us bring our offerings to the Lord.